Hey yo, it's Weebcast Radio. What's up, everybody? Welcome back. It's your boy CW, Fearless Leader, here on Weebcast, your favorite anime and manga show. I mean, if it isn't, what else? I mean, what other show are you listening to? It's gotta be CW and Weebcast. But today, I have a special guest, Chris, who's not only we didn't talk about this, but people who know that they know I'm an East Coast dude, born and raised, but you're as well. So, It blew my mind. It's a small world, man.
Right by far.
Yeah, closest guest. It really is, and to be so big in like an anime.
What can you do? You know, when you hate people and you just want to like watch TV and not do anything, you try to find as much as you can.
This is. Yeah, these are the social circles you kind of find yourself in. So, And you not only think, I like the way you think, you also put me on a show. And for those who are reading, looking at the title, looking at the description of this episode, saw my post, we're going to be talking about Blue Gender. Because, and let me tell you, I mean, this is okay. Your spotlight. I want you to tell me a little bit about the show.
One of the anime that I am like 99.9% certain that when I was growing up watching Toonami late at night, they had Outlaw Star was on there, Dragon Ball Z, Gundam Wing, and then Blue Gender was on there. So Blue Gender was a big difference between the other ones because it was such a grounded horror sci-fi piece that it blew me away completely. So to put it in perspective, Blue Gender is like Starship Troopers if Starship Troopers went horror.
Because
it's got the big nasty bugs, and it's a war against these bugs, and they're the size of vans and trucks, and the whole idea of the show is mankind has been basically thrown off the earth. They've been kicked out, and all these big ass bugs have started to come through. And we follow Yuji. Yeah, I was going to say Yujiro, and I was like, that's not it. But we follow Yuji as he wakes up from stasis. After being, what is the word that I'm looking for? Diagnosed with this illness, this incurable illness, and he wakes up 20 years after everything, and now the world is in chaos. There's giant creatures everywhere. They do the first episode and the first like introduction to this world. They do such a good job making it as scary as possible, I feel like.
So, yeah, there was a turning point in the show, in the anime. We'll definitely get to that. But the first episode, the music, the eeriness, the tones, I mean, in the title blue, like just the several shades of blue. It felt cold, it felt lonely, it felt desperate. And then we meet Yuji, you know, he's waking up,
and all
of a sudden he's attacked attacked, I guess, with these mechs. And that's another thing that kind of blew it, because I did
that opening song jammed so hard.
It's so fucking
80s. Usually I skip the intros, and I forgot how much I love that song that I just let it play almost every single time.
The way it like kind of slowly drives in, you know, and
it just hits so hard,
like so 90s. Like that was fucking great. The ending though, I love the ending as well. That's such a beautiful ending, especially when I finished it. The first episode kind of just draws you in, and it uses all the senses really well, and he's attacked, you know, with these mechs. Because if y'all didn't watch the opening, I would have never,
yeah,
you know, thought this show would have mechs. Because I, little known secret, I do love mechs. I think it's a genre that's being under or misused today in anime. But I know a lot of people don't like the genre.
These are way more grounded mechs. So these are like power suits, you know, almost. It's not.
Yeah, this isn't
right.
Yeah, this isn't like the Gundam mechs. Really, these are kind of like. Yeah, like you said, they're kind of like just power suits for,
yeah,
you know, some. They're much.
And
more
I think
simple,
that's what drew me to this the most is that this feels like it could actually happen ish.
Yeah, it's set in
2031. It's yeah, 2031 is what it is.
It's like pretty recent.
So, you know, the bugs start coming through. The technology is there, so they're a little bit more advanced than us at the moment because they can put people to sleep. But they also build this space station to where a lot of people on Earth are now living in the orbit of Earth and on this big-ass space station. And we find out later that it's not everybody that could have gone. It's only a select few. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
that was the
what they do is they go back down and they're looking for what they call sleepers. So they're looking for what Yuji is, which is a person that's been in a stasis pod for the past 20 years. Because these sleepers, what they try to figure out is if they can help them, you know, beat the what they're called blue. These big ass insects are called blue. So they go down, they'll do missions, and these missions are, it's the technology that makes it way more believable because it's not crazy 50, 75 foot tall robots. These are like 12 foot tall, really just overall power suits. Think like aliens. Yeah.
Yeah,
right,
it's
right.
Like that,
that's a little bit more militarized.
With
yeah,
the auto rifle attack, large. Yeah,
but yeah,
so.
That. So,
yeah.
Go back to what your reaction was for that first episode. Because watching this again, I felt completely bought in, like right away.
I was
okay.
I'm not so much big into the horror.
Okay.
For anime, usually. Like for American movies, though, I love horror movies. This it's set up like it was like I was watching like an American style horror with the music. And this is another thing I really enjoyed about the entire series. One of my favorite things about Blue Gender is the sound effects, the bullets. When the blue are being riddled with bullets, or something breaks, or somebody dies, someone gets shot. It sounds so surreal. Like it when the blue are just getting splattered apart, or somebody, like, you know, like that first episode or first or second episode,
right,
when like half of the new people we met are already dead, you know, they and I'm like, that's another thing. That was another thing I was not expecting. I really thought I thought that was gonna be our crew for at least most of the series.
Luke, maybe
Joey.
And then I forget his name.
Luke, the commander. Well, I guess the commander. Yeah, and then that dude, that prick, who like the first dude that I guess Yuji kind of like counters, other than Marlene, I guess. He's dead. But that was another thing. I like that. It was gritty. They weren't playing around. It wasn't no pussyfooting around.
Yeah.
It was direct. That's the best way I can put it. It was really direct. And the atmosphere was really, really nice. And the thing is, that's not when, like, I started this. I was enjoying it, but there was an episode. It took me. I remember the episode. It was episode 11. Episode 11 is when.
Okay.
It was like, I guess, almost at halfway point where I was like, yeah, I love this series. Every episode after 11,
that's interesting because,
Because for me, the first few episodes, for me,
I
thought Yuji was just unbearably annoying. It's so annoying.
Yeah.
Like when he killed his
so
blue,
I think there's episode, two things about like, okay, that, because he's an asshole a little bit throughout it, right?
Yeah,
but you mentioned something kind of earlier, like a little, with he's a cheeky bastard, blue, and how cold it is and how the loneliness of it. So the whole thing, man out of time type story, where Yuji is, he was asleep for 20 years, and now he woke up into this hellscape. So I think, because you watched the dub. Okay.
Yeah, I watched the dub at first.
I think the voice acting sometimes takes it out. But if I was in his same position, I don't know how I would act.
It did a little bit.
And he gets better over time. He the character arc is good, where he he wants to fight, right? He doesn't want to just try to find his past, because his past, he finally realizes, I think around that episode, that it's gone. There's nothing for him. Yeah. Because even
there's nothing to go back.
You mentioned it, the little girl episode. Yeah. That's where I think everything finally started hitting for him, where there are people left on the earth, and those are people that are deemed replaceable, trash, already dead by everybody living in the space system or the space station.
I thought that was such a cool dynamic, to be honest. Like having the second earth, you know. And then not everybody, you know, was selected, you know, to go. And it created a dynamic right there and then. Like, so this is where Marlene stands. They're like, hey, we got to miss. We got to get you back, bro. That's all I'm worried about. And then he's like, well, isn't there a way we can save these people? Can we send ships over to, you know, so we get these people? And so my thought was like, man, we're just going to get like a kind of just a clash of ideals, which it does. I guess we do see that, but I thought it was just gonna be focused on, you know, Yuji just focused on maybe just trying to get these people who are just, you know, lost their way, they're abandoned, and then always constantly battling Marlene.
I think that's interesting, because
in that kind of strife,
they only hit on it that one episode that There are people there, and then they hit on it later on when at the last half of the series. But I think that's interesting, because you could have definitely taken the story that way, where he fights for trying to get people on the ship back to Second Earth the entire time, and you know that dynamic between Marlene and the rest of the military unit, and saying, look, you are our priority. We don't give a shit about anybody else. We just care about you. And you, you need to stop running off, because we will handcuff you if you don't stop showing out. But I think that could have worked, but it would have taken away from some of the other aspects of the world building, maybe.
True. They're very true. Because for a show like Blue Dinner with only 26 episodes,
something
that
late
came out,
90s.
What was it? Was 99, 2000? That the world building is pretty concise. It's pretty tight. Like it's easy to understand. It still stays interesting. Like it makes you ask a few questions. Like I was already like, oh wait, what's Second Earth? Wait, who are the people at Second Earth? Are they all like Marlene? Or like, you know, so did they just abandon everybody here? Like in the blue, were they? Because that was another thing with the blue. You know, obviously a lot of people, you know how like when you're watching a show, you're just like, you're already like theory crafting as you watch. You're like, so I was just sitting there kind of like when this blue, like this, like did they come from another planet? Are they virus, disease kind of thing. Where did the blue come from? Like, I was really intrigued on the aliens, just the species and what was their role.
Yeah, that,
that kind of thing. I thought that was really fascinating.
I think the first half of this series before they go to the actual space station is probably one of my favorite anime arcs out there. Yes. And that's because of the story. It's because of the way that the horror elements play for me, the sci-fi aspects of it play for me. You have this dude that wakes up and he's freaking out the entire time, and then he turns into someone that can actually fight, which is great.
Yeah, when he got formidable, like he loved
stronger and stronger.
You know, each
yeah.
episode, you know, each, you know, him wanting to be trained. Yeah,
Shrikes. Yeah. Yep. And then Marlene has her character arc too, where.
Oh, I loved it. Oh yeah. My God, I love Marlene actually might be one of my favorite female characters.
Right.
She was really great in this show. She stole the show, especially that second half.
Because she's at first, when we first meet her, she's very much a no bullshit, no nonsense, robotic military person. You're going to fall in line, or I'm going to make you fall in line. And she's very rigid and very cold. And then throughout the whole series, she sees the humanity that she lost in Second Earth through Yuji. And it's interesting for me because the second half of the show, we find out that the sleepers, which Yuji is the sleeper, they have these things called B cells. And these B cells are...
That's right. Yep.
They're the idea with the scientists that they can go against the blue and they can activate these B cells to be superhuman, and now they can be their like main threat against the blue, which are these the big ass bugs. And it gets really weird near the end, and I think that's why I love this series, but I really love the first half of it and not necessarily the last half of it.
I see. For me, it was definitely, I guess it was just the other side of the coin. Like, it was really flipped. Like, I liked watching the second half really made me appreciate the first half, to be honest. And for sure, I just liked how, like, yeah, Yuji, he felt like the main person. I rooted for him. Even the second half, I still rooted for him. But just having it in the second half where it felt like Marlene became the main character. And she was like, I don't know why I feel so attached to him. But every time I see him, like, I feel, like you said, something lost, you know. And it felt like she could gain something from him, something natural and beautiful. And just seeing Yuji's descent, I guess I say, I'll use the word, I guess, descent into just almost like, and I'm sure we're going to bring it up a little bit more, but I really do feel like blue gender. I don't know what I should have. I feel like I feel so bad for not watching this before, but like,
sure, yeah.
It feels like a catalyst for a lot of shows. I wrote a few down. I just wanted to let you know what did you think? I saw a lot of Attack on Titan. Like, I felt a lot of Attack on Titan themes in here.
Right. Right.
I felt a lot of Neon Genesis as well.
Yep,
Terraformers. Gantz. God Eater.
Yes. Okay.
I had another. Wait, what else? Juosei.
Because I think Juosei has kind of the same ideas. Because they were thrown to another planet or something like that, right? In that story.
Yeah. Yeah, that one. It's been a while. Yeah. Yeah. It's just that the Attack on Titan with the Eren. Like, I saw some Eren in him where he was just becoming like, oh, it was kind of
right.
It felt natural because he was like, because he's always wanted to help. Like, when he was formidable and before he found out about the blue cells, he was like, oh, I can actually be the reason why I can, like, rid the earth, or I can help people, you know, if I can defeat these
obsessed
blue.
Obsessed with power,
and then
yeah.
he just goes down the spiral of, like, just obsessed with a power. And I thought it was like, man, that's pretty Aaron.
Well, and
not
I
as
think
dark.
Too,
I mean,
Aaron
Aaron's
had
wasn't as dark, but like this.
More people this to great. Go against him and to rein him in. Like, when you look at Aaron and you look at someone
you're
like
right.
Captain
yeah.
Levi, that is such a badass and can say, look, I don't care if you're a Titan because I kill Titans by myself. While with this, with Blue Gender, you don't necessarily have
exactly.
that. You have
exactly,
a character in Tony who is another sleeper that, yeah, that is obsessed with power as well and turns into a jerk of a human, that's for sure. But, you know, he... Yuji sees Tony as, like, the pinnacle of what he can achieve, and then it's almost like someone on steroids, right? Yeah. Because they,
it was.
So
right.
they kind of
yeah,
mentioned
yeah.
this,
good.
And I don't know if you caught
that,
but they have a couple different drugs on Second Earth.
So, yeah, I remember that. I can't quite... I don't remember the ring,
yeah.
you know, but I remember them...
Yep.
Like, Marlene was given one. I remember seeing Yuji consume one or two. And I didn't quite understand that. I didn't know what the purpose was. Like,
from,
I didn't know if it was, like, a way...
Yeah,
to
from
him
what
out,
I saw, it was
focused.
To
like, I didn't know
keep
what,
him going, like, steroids or speed or something to where now he can push his body even more and to get his okay. cells... even more activated, because the whole idea is to get the B cells activated in order for him to get more power.
Yes, I do remember that.
Yes. Him and Tony, yep.
Pilot the, was it double
yeah.
edge? Is that what it's called? Yeah, okay. Cuz that raised the B cells. Yeah. Okay. I do remember that cuz I thought that was really, and I'm glad you brought it up with the Tony and him, Tony and Yuji, cuz I really like that dynamic. Of seeing Tony as something as like, oh, I can get to that point, and then becoming
right.
a competition where like was like, man, I'm just as good as him now, and to the point where you just see Yuji just slashing through blue like it's nothing, and just, and I'm just going back and I'm just thinking like, this Yuji, like, this dude barely killed him with a pistol. He could barely he was like, I mean, he was pissing himself in the first episode, and then
okay,
and then this is where he's at. I do want to say, I do have to bring this up because you would know better, and it's a theme that, it was a thing that I was noticing. I didn't really, I thought it was weird in the first few episodes, and then when it got to Second Earth and it was happening more, I was like, what? I'm not quite sure, is it just because they're sheltered? But in the first episode, I remember one of the pilots was groping one of the female wanted to strike, right? And I was like, okay, maybe this... I was like, this
right,
is their
yeah.
relationship.
Yep.
And then there's an instance with Marlene and Joey, I believe, a little later. And then when we get to Second Earth, it seems like everybody's a horn dog. But I was like,
yeah.
there has to be a reason for this. I was like, maybe it's just because, you know, they've just been up here for so long or whatever the case may be. But I just thought it was... And the thing is, it was never, like, talked about, which I liked a lot, too. Because it just happened.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
When they were off duty, or like...
So
hey,
it's a weird thing because all of Second Earth is basically a paramilitary unit, right? So what you're looking at is they also take away, they put everybody through re-education and reprogramming to be less human and less emotionally invested. And that's why they can do these missions and basically see humans on Earth and think that they are dead already and trash already and expendable. So I think there's a couple things with it. The first part is like the Joey and Marlene scene early on in the first half where Yuji kind of like walks in on him a little bit. I think that it's going to be something where she
That's
talks
right.
about
yeah,
it later.
Yeah, yeah.
you know, Yuji is very naive and in love. Like, yeah.
And Yuji, she's like, about it. Like, weren't you
right?
Joey,
and she's
like,
just like, nah, man. Like, we just,
yeah.
It's a physical thing. We just needed each other. And I think that that goes through the whole rest of it. And that's why I also think that the Starship Troopers comes into play too, because that was such, like, when I'm a kid, of the first times that I see boobs on screen. And it's just, but they treat it not so nonchalantly, and they also treat sex and blue gender very nonchalantly too. Like, everybody, right. And
yeah, it was,
I think,
matter, it was just matter of fact. Like, it was just a part,
I think,
of
everybody kind of knows that there's not really like an emotional investment into anybody else, so that physical urge comes through. And then we see I feel bad because I forgot the other dude, the actual human, because it's Alicia that's the sleeper, and then her partner that's gonna irritate.
Alicia,
but
that's gonna bug me now.
Goes with Marlene. And it's the weirdest thing because
he was on Marlene since the first, like, bro.
The weirdest thing is we were talking about the sex part where it's off duty and Marlene's kind of like, no, I don't really want to, but fine. And they go to this room, but everybody else is doing it. And I guess like sex is such a agreed upon thing there.
Yeah, it just seems like it's just what do you call it? And
so that's Rick. That's what I was trying to remember.
It's
the norm. So it's just like a normal thing, and we see it
when
Alicia tries to take Yuji to go to the sunrise, where people are having sex in like these weird parts of the ship and I think it's just that physical part where no one really cares. They know that it's going to be a part of their life because they're humans, and maybe there's something like the people that are doing it in the weird underside of the ship, they might be doing it where it's a little bit more like relationship stuff, while that weird ass room that Rick and Marlene goes to where everybody's just having sex right then and there.
So that's another, I'm glad you brought that up, because I didn't really see it as that until like later on. I'm like, okay, wait, what was the difference of them made, you know, of their, you know, doing it down there?
Yeah, and I don't know what the difference is, whether it's just location, and that's it.
I just thought that was really interesting.
Because no one cared. People were doing whatever they wanted to whoever they wanted to. And, you know, I don't know, man. It was such a weird thing, and it kind of like a, not really a shocking thing, but it definitely throws you off. I'm like, whoa, I didn't expect this.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Even though it was just kind of just thing running in the back of my mind when it happened, like that. There was a scene in the second half.
The scientist dude,
Senno Miyagi, or it might have been Senno, the scientist.
Yeah,
like
yeah, yeah.
He like leaves the room or something. And those two women, you know, and like, you know, they're just, he's gone. They got nothing to do. You know, he's like, hey, Marlene, we're trying to head out here. And then you see them kind of already groping each other there. And then like Senno comes back and like, you need something, need some work to be done. And like, and it kind of looked a little like pit, like really, like now, like, so I just thought it was really interesting. And I wanted to hear what you thought about that. Because it was never really, like you said, it was kind of close to the chest. Like, it was just nonchalant.
I think you hit it on the nail earlier when you were talking about how everything is cold and distant. Because there's no emotional investment in any of this. So, and that's the arc that Marlene and Yuji have to kind of contend with, where Marlene at first is that very cold, almost inhuman soldier that now, once they're back on Second Earth, she didn't realize that Yuji has like changed her so much. And now that she's trying to go back into normalcy, and you see her fight with that big time. Cause she...
Bro, I love those episodes. Like that, like when she's being, I guess, retrained, like she needs to be, she's like, oh, hey, you're kind of straying away to the council, the high council. And I'm like, oh no, you're kind of straying from the path. We're going to have to re-educate you, retrain you. And so she kind of goes through the drills with in mind, like, of caring for her squad, or not shooting direct, you know, not just immediately eliminating the blue, you know,
because
there might be a civilian nearby, you know, I don't want to shoot through a civilian to kill a blue or something like that. And she was like determined, not like she wasn't doing this like second, like she was actively trying to prove to her, prove to the High Council, like, hey, I can still be effective and be.
Because then we
empathetic.
See,
and I really thought that
we
was
see that so dynamic crazy. Shift from Yuji being that compassionate person and caring about people, where he only cares about being strong, being the best, being this blue killer, and now we see Marlene, who was that person, struggle with the fact that she's regained her humanity, she's regained her compassion, and she's determined to prove to the High Council that not only can she be efficient military-wise, but she can also save lives while doing it. That people aren't expendable.
That's, yeah, save lives. There was something else I wanted to bring up. I think it was in that second part as well, when when he's down with the, he's back on Earth, and he's, I can't remember when it was, it was when he gets separated from Marlene, and, this must have been the first part then, when he separated from Marlene and the dude, that one dude, the former soldier.
I forgot about that. I don't know why.
This nomad kind of group for a few days. I really like those few episodes. I really like that. And he meets, you know, kind of gets close to that one girl, and she's really invested into him. You know, when it,
So
I know. I really like that. It was. I don't think it was.
Yeah,
more
it
than
was
just, like,
because
one or
that,
two episodes,
that's where Yuji.
But it felt.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I would have forgot about that, because we had already kind of like skipped to the second half. But the. Kind of the culmination of like the first season finale of it, so to speak, that first half finale was him breaking off because did he get like trapped or something? Because the nomads saved him.
I'm trying to remember how these are people that are
just moving space to space trying to stay safe. You know, living a human life on Earth and staying away from the blue and making sure that they can still, you know, be people. And this is the first time that Yuji really like feels like a human again and feels some kind of comfort level of living on Earth again.
That's what I wanted to say because, you know, his first encounter with with the Earth people again after being, you know, asleep for so long, it's just misery. It's just
hopeful,
just depressing. And then with these people, it's simplistic. It's it's hopeful. Like these people can do it. You know, I'm not sure if that's what his thinking was, but when I was watching, it was like this is a good example for him. Like he needed this so fucking bad, and it kind of plays into. Now that I think about it, it kind of does kind of play into for the second half, and its ending. Like, you know, now he's seen it. He's seen it work before. You know,
well, that, people can live on that, Earth. That goes into the way that all culminates, right? So what he has that humanity part in there. He originally says, "Look, I'm gonna stay on Earth," and I think it was Doug, maybe is the dude that they meet in the Oasis. He's the former, I think his name is Doug, and we probably should have prepared and wrote all these characters down.
I can't
Dice, that's his name. That's his name. So
I should have.
We meet Dice in Oasis, where they're trying to keep moving because they don't have any kind of like vehicles to keep moving to the Russian space station. So Dice is former military. He's cool. Him and Marlene kind of go back and forth because Marlene is still very firmly military, where he just doesn't care. He's been living and fighting this one blue for a while. But at one point, you know, it was Dice that was like, "Look, you know, you made your decision. We'll back off. I'll talk to Marlene. We'll back off. We'll let you be here." And then everything goes sideways because there's that. Correct. Yeah.
That rogue. Oh, that's like a rogue band of soldiers as well. Because that's right. Because they were. I didn't quite understand if they had like a deal with those people. Like they would handle the blue in exchange for maybe some kind of food or whatever the case may be. And at least that's what it felt like.
I think it was really their rogue, their marauders. They're the bandits, basically. And you know, they're trying to live too, and they decided to take over the whole nomad little congregation, and that brings Yuji and Marlene and Dice all back together. And at this point, when everything goes sideways with another blue, Yuji's like, you know, we got to put an end to it. So fine, you know, take me to Second Earth. If I can help end it, for going to Second Earth and being fine. And then,
that isn't the cool thing about Yuji. He was always focused on his ideas. Like he never kind of went back. I mean, at least for the first half, like he was always kind of determined. Yeah.
And I think that's one of the things that really differentiates it between something like Attack on Titan, because you're looking at, you know, Attack on Titan, their whole idea is to
most definitely
kill everything all the time and try to expand back out. But it's not anything where they want to, where they have, you know, this humanity that's out there that is living out in the wild, that they don't have to deal with that because everybody is so centralized. So go ahead.
Exactly. And, no, I was going to say, and now that I think about it, the second half where we see a lot of blue in that first part. I mean, you see a lot of it as well in the second part, but it's a two-pronged attack. Now you got to worry about the blue and then the interpersonal relationships with, you know, you got the High Council, you have the Senno Miyagi, you have the scientist and his kind of crew.
Yeah.
And then, you know, just kind of, they're all kind of have their own goals, I guess, or their own motives. And I really like that. Because, like, you know, I like the alien killing. Because, God, it's so free. It's aesthetically pleasing. Like, the sounds. I'll never get over that. The sound of them dying, being shot, or someone else being, like, maimed by one of these creatures was amazing. But it was really cool to see, you know, characters work against each other. And then, and then, like, the Marlene thing. You know, Marlene, when, like, the moment she's there, you know, she just wants to find, like, Yuji. Is he okay? What are they doing to him? Where are they taking him? I just want to find him. I just want to see him. And then you kind of like, when she's kind of at the end of her rope, they got her. She finally sees him, calls out to Yuji. He kind of responds and are all kind of shocked. And then I guess the sign, I think the moment where Sonno kind of like creates some kind of distraction or something where they can like escape or not escape. But
So that's where Attack on Titan does with the little political subterfuge and, you know, right. And because it's not just a monster anime right now.
The
humans are monsters.
Yeah, I love that.
They're the ones that are doing all the underhanded dirty shit. And that's where this gets really cool, too, because now we have to fight the political stuff in Second Earth to try and just keep everybody kind of humanized and saving humanity overall, because that's the overall idea, right? And then what the scientist learns figures out that ultimately the B cells that are in the sleepers are also the B cells that turn into the blue.
I love that revelation, because I was waiting for kind of like the big turn. Like, I thought the first one where they were, I think it was the High Council explaining to Yuji and Marlene about the B cells and what they, what they are in a way, like what we're going to weaponize these people to fight. But what Senno finds out, I thought was really cool, because then it put, you know, it was like, because we saw it, we were kind of seeing it happen, like in, you know, spiral, you know, out of control. But we never had like an explanation. We just kind of had an inkling like, oh, this is...
Yeah, because what we ultimately find out is that
the
B cells and the disease and the illness that Yuji, Tony, and Alicia were suffering from, and they were put to sleep 20 years prior to everything that's going on, ultimately turn into what we know as the blue. And what we see is also this overall concept, and Parasite the Maxim does this too. So it switches from that body horror.
Oh, that's another one. Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Fighting alien versus alien, to it's the actual Earth that's fighting. So what we find out with the blue is that there's this idea of the Earth having a failsafe to kill whatever crazy outgrowth menace is happening to it, and it's actually like pretty still prevalent in now, right now, during our time now, where Senno has figured out that it's the Earth has created these B cells, and the Earth has this failsafe in there to where if the humans are out of control, which we're overpopulating, we're draining the resources, all this other stuff. So the blue is a reaction to us draining the Earth's resources. Mm-hmm. And now it's game on to where the Earth is trying to save itself through the blue. And then ultimately, we find out at the end that after we stop fucking around with the blue and like stay up in the space station and stop going down there, that, well, now it's the blue's turn to go and die. And yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That switch, because that turn, like that was like those final, for me, I really like the I like the kind of the build up into some of those final episodes of just Yuji being a little more resolved.
Yuji gets over his bullshit with
Marlene
trying to be
Yuji's kind of like now
powerful,
a solidified team.
Right. Because yeah, then the other part about it is what we find out with Tony and the B cells and even like Alicia, because Tony figures this out that he can make Alicia do this, is that because the B cells ultimately turn to the blue, and we have this kind of set up earlier with the, like the super soldier stuff where they're telepathic a little bit and they're all tied in with the blue. But we find that it's actually more of like the Earth's will.
Yeah. It's the Earth's will. Yeah. And then Tony just takes that on
for Maximo Drive. Like, and now that Yuji has his shit together and Marlene's with him, now they go in and be like, "Look, Tony, you're a madman. We don't need all this." But ultimately, he ends up almost being right. Yeah.
Yeah, in a way, you know, he's because we could probably talk. I kind of want to talk about this because there's a few different sides that were coming up. You have with the Tony argument, because in a way, like using the sleepers, I guess appropriately, maybe not the way that maybe Tony wanted to go about it, or maybe the High Council and the Sentinel maybe go about it initially. Like, if you kept this going, maybe you probably could have wiped out every single blue on Earth with the sleepers. Maybe, you know? It seemed like it was the only option they really had at the time. Or it felt like the only option they had. And Tony just wanted to fulfill that. Like, he was like, this is what the Earth wants. Like, it needs to be cleansed for it to truly re-begin. And I was kind of stuck on, well, like, I don't know, because, yeah, like, do we really want this false hope with Yuji? Like, can we really get it on? The whole Tony thing. What's his name? Tony Frost? Was that his name?
Yeah, the Messiah.
The Messiah himself. I thought that was a good question as well, but I thought the really cool or the cooler one for me was the one with Senno, when when he takes over
the station.
Yeah, when he takes over the station and he just kind of like, hey, you know what? We did good work. Look, Yuji, he's the one who really kind of pulled this through for everybody, and give him a round of applause or whatever. And he kind of just, hey, like, look, we should just, you know, fuck Earth. There's no way we're not going to be able to continue living on here. Let's just live out our days here. Resources are low, so try not to panic, but let's just enjoy our time here and we'll just die. Pretty much like, hey, we'll just die up here, you know? Like, and I thought that was, and it was just said because he has a way with words. He was kind of eloquent with it.
Right.
And when I heard it, when he was saying that to me, I was just kind of putting myself into that crowd and like, wait, he wants us to like just essentially give up? I mean, maybe they don't see it as that, now that I think about it, but like, it just felt like, you know, hey, resources, we'll just kind of use them until the end of our days here. And
yeah, because there was that part where he does a coup d'etat against the High Council.
Yeah.
And he goes from, you know, worrying about and taking Earth back so much to be like, look, we can live in peace up here. Let's do that. Let's just live in peace and hope.
That's the words he used.
And we'll eventually get back to where we need to. You know, we can still do excursions on the Earth, but honestly, we don't even have to really, because we can whatever we need is up here, so it's cool. Yeah. So that does, and to your point with Yuji, that does actually make another little dynamic in there where most of the humans that are on the space station now look at Yuji as, oh, you're this sleeper monster that can turn into the blue.
I really thought that was great. Like, I really like how, like, he kind of felt like, where like Marlene, when they were onto the second Earth finally, and we're getting to the second part of the show, and like everyone's just against her. Like it was just Marlene against the world.
Right. For, right.
And then Yuji kind of got the taste of that, because now he was the strong one. He was the one where he put in a lot of work to save a lot of people on second Earth.
And then he was thrown out. Yeah.
Yeah, and in return, yeah, exactly. In return, he got ritual for it. I just thought it was interesting because you would think there'd be more people who saw things like Yuji, where like, you know, like, excuse me, like why can't we try again? Like why can't we rid the blue? Like, there's got to be some way we can kind of continue this in a better fashion in some sort.
Yeah, I think one part about it though is that they've been doing it for so long, and mm-hmm. so many people are dying to the blue that I think that they're just over it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, and I guess usually he's only been doing this for. I mean, what is the time frame?
Not long. You're looking at a few weeks.
That's incredible.
Yeah, because when they first get Yuji. And it's roughly about 7 or 8 days from that point, I think, to Vicanor, which is where they lift off to go to second.
They lift off.
Yeah, to second Earth. It might be slightly longer, but it's not much. So,
yeah, I don't think. Didn't feel like a full month passed. Definitely didn't feel like it. Definitely wasn't a month.
Right. So this whole time frame of the show is probably truncated in about 30 to 40 days, and what we see is two things on how things like culminate to the end. We see this crazy ass light coming from the blue, which like Yuji falls into and becomes one with for a second, and
oh god, that was trippy as hell.
Yeah, so I guess he figures out the will of the earth, and he understands that we're trying to live like in peace and harmony, and the earth understands that, you know, the blue can go away now, which is cool.
That works for me.
Yeah. He understands that, and he understands that what the earth doesn't want is for the humans to go out of control again. But then what we see at the same time is that the humans on the space station go out of control and blow themselves up.
Which was great. It was fucking great. I like when Senno gets just riddled with bullets, like I was shocked, surprised at the same time, but I was like, this is great. Like this, that's when I knew, like, this anime, I definitely have to tell my friends about this show.
Yeah.
Like, it was great. It was great. The economy of that was great. And because that's something you would see in American shows.
Right.
They would kind of something to it, like The Sopranos, like something mundane would be happening, like cooking or drinking wine. And then same music, different shot. We're seeing maybe someone being executed or something, you know, things like that. And that's why I love sci-fi anime, man. this is why I love sci-fi anime. But what did you think about the ending? You said I'm not sure if we said it off on mic, but what were your thoughts on the ending? Because for me, I thought it was, other than the trippy, you know, him becoming, I guess, one with the earth.
Yeah.
I didn't know what to call it. I just knew, like, oh, okay, so he's definitely merged with the
will of the earth, I guess. So here's the thing. What we haven't talked about is that there's an actual like movie that consolidates the whole story too.
Okay, good. I'm glad you bring this up, because yeah, I didn't know when to put this. I didn't know how to bring this
Yeah,
up.
So it's weird, and the endings differentiate themselves really, really hard. So in the series, I think it wraps well. I think there is that sign of hope that you need after all the horror and destruction and everything that happens.
Yeah, because it was pretty much a good ending.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, not as in like I enjoyed the ending, but like it was a uplifting
right.
and hopeful ending.
Right.
You know? So.
Because we find out that Marlene's pregnant with Yuji's kid. That's one thing.
Yes.
So that the idea of the future is there. And then we also what we originally think is that once Yuji kind of like conjoins with the Earth, that's it. He's gone.
That's what I was thinking, because when they were in the cave, they just battled, and that battle was
great. Yeah,
that battle was really intense with the final boss, the final blue. So they beat him, and he's like, and I'm like, oh, here we go. Yuji's not. He's going in, but he's not coming back out. And Marlene kind of had the sense like, I have to.
Right.
Like, I can't let him. I have to be there with. I have to do it. And you know, and he kind of, I guess, convinces her like, trust me, I'll be fine. I'll be back. But I have to do this. I just feel like I have to do this on my own. That was a really cool moment. Like it got. I was tightening up a little.
Yeah.
Because I really didn't want Yuji to disappear or die. Like I really did not want to.
And I think that's what the series really hits on, is that there's so much more emotional investment into these characters that you feel, especially when Marlene says, "Look, I'm pregnant. Like this is."
Yeah.
Like we I need you here. And ultimately he comes back, which is awesome.
Which is great.
I always do think about like, okay, so does that make him like this other crazy ass superhuman or
yeah, because there's no way he's just a guy.
Right.
Still,
right.
You know what I mean? Like
so I don't know how that ends, but what we get is, you know, the space station Earth 2 being blown up because they're dumb. Shit. And then the blue is gone at this point, because that's his whole point of conjoining with the whatever craziest light it is. And now if the humans don't fuck around and become like a menace again, they can live in peace and harmony on the Earth. Now in the movie, it's a little bit different.
Okay. Yeah.
So
this is what I want to know.
The movie is garbage. I'm gonna first say that.
Just get that out of
because mind. Basically right, yeah. it's both arcs. It's not even really both arcs combined all together, and it's not great. A lot of the same scenes. It's a lot of the same dialogue. It's a lot of the same everything. Just
damn
shrunken. You know, truncated. Where the end of the movie, though, is that telepathy that they were talking about, the scientists was talking about and the High Council was talking about with the B-cells comes into play, to where Yuji is basically dead on a road in a city, and he's not coming up, but then somehow magically everything starts connecting and he's able to connect with the blue, and it ends with Marlene picking him up back up on the road and starting to do like medical stuff and like crying all over him because, oh, you're so hurt, blah blah blah. But then it actually ends with the B cells being activated and Yuji having that connection with the blue, and then the blue just dispersing. Like that's it. That's the whole end. It doesn't culminate into this huge climax. So it doesn't hit anywhere emotionally as hard or anywhere satisfactory as well.
That does not sound satisfying. Yeah. In the least.
So it's a good thing that you skipped it, because it's not great.
Because I was ready to watch it. Because I think I finished that Wednesday.
Oh wow! Okay.
Yeah. I really liked it.
That's great.
It, okay?
That's
I'm
great.
Sorry. I really liked it. I finished it that Wednesday evening, and I was like, oh, there's a movie. I was like, maybe there's a continuation.
No.
But I never just got around to it, because I was like, and then because also I was looking, I was like, oh, maybe is there a manga? And then I found out it was an original. Like it doesn't have an original source material. Like this is. And I love when animes do that. Like, there was a recent anime. What was it called? Not Darwin's Game. Oh my god! Now I'm blanking on it. Oh, Somali in the Forest.
Oh, that was an original
one? No, wait. Is it that one? It's one of the spring or winter animes, and it was an original anime. And when I was looking up Blue Gender again, I was like, that's an original anime?
Yeah.
Like, that's wild. Like, it seemed like it would be based off of, like, really, really you know, old-timey looking manga, but not this one.
Yeah, I think that's interesting because I completely forgot about that until you brought it up. I would have thought for sure that it would be based off of a manga, like a fairly well-known manga. And I think that's the other part about this, where when we talk about like retro, not really retro, I guess retro because 20 years.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
When we look at it, it's Blue Gender isn't really talked about. It's Outlaw Star, Dragon Ball Z, it's Sailor Moon,
Yu Yu Hakusho is putting that in that.
But most of those have that manga history too.
Yeah, exactly. They already had somewhat of a following.
Yeah,
kind of going into before it being.
So maybe that's actually one of the things that both help and hinder the notoriety and the popularity of Blue Gender, where with it not having that manga base, you know, not a lot of people still know about it.
It's not a lot of conversation. Yeah. I could find very little conversation about it, though it does seem well received by like a lot of people, like the people who have watched it. Like, they usually say good things.
Right.
I haven't seen one, but I didn't look too hard. But there wasn't a lot of negative things. For me, the only negative that was glaring, I guess, in its sense, was other than the opening and the ending, I felt like the original soundtrack just in some episodes were, just felt jarring, but not in the pleasing sense. Like some songs didn't sound like, it was just noise, kind of like a noise.
Yeah.
Sometimes it worked, like when there was blue around or something tense was happening, it would work. And then some instances it just wasn't really working for me. But other than that, like I said, my favorite thing about it was the sound, like the sound effects.
Yeah.
The bullets, the alien sounds. The fighting, the action.
I bet you if it was redone with a more updated soundtrack, that you would been with it a little bit more.
Oh, most definitely. Most, because the opening.
Yeah.
And I love the ending as well.
Because I can see that, because it is a little, you know, 80s, 90s soundtrack that's just a little 2-bit kitschy, I guess. Yeah, so I could see that, where it would take you out of it.
Yeah, I was trying to like, you know, because it kept popping. It kept popping up just randomly at random moments, and then something would like suck me back in. You know, Yuji would do something or Marlene, and I'd forget about it. But I was thinking like maybe it could have just been a thing of its time.
Yeah,
at that point, you know, it could have been, because I was thinking back to. Like Trigun, where like when people think of Trigun, they think of that awesome opening and then the ending as well. But I was thinking about it, like sometimes it was just like a lot of dead air in the middle of the episodes, and then it'd be like really scratchy music, like, you know, when something's happening. But it's such a fondly remembered show. So you just kind of remember the really cool things, like his design,
right?
And the opening,
and you
the
know
gun.
When they did the Badlands movie, and they updated everything, I think.
Yeah, that's right. That's
I
right.
That's,
they did.
I think that's they where it really the soundtrack really shined. So I think you have a good point. Where even with this one, I bet you because they can do such better sound design now, because I think they also would have done a lot.
Bro, if this was redone, like the sound effects were crisp already. Like if this was real, I'm afraid. I'm afraid of what they could do.
Because I think that the tension would have built up a little bit more, that you could have played around with empty sound a little bit more to build some of the dread in there. So, to your point, I think there's some good stuff, because even some of the fights with the blue, if they would have even kept that where less is more sometimes, instead of like an actual music soundtrack to it, you could have felt even more tension. And if they were to ever think about it doing like a live action where it would really be a way more horror designed Starship Troopers, that would have been another good part of it.
I'm glad you brought up the live action, because that was another thought. I didn't know, because I guess this counts as a positive, but I could definitely see this being a live action movie, whether it would be produced in Japan or in America. It just seems fraught with just, no, that's not the right word. It just seems filled with a lot of cool sci-fi type of things that American audiences would like a movie, just for a nice popcorn flick. You remember that Tom Cruise movie,
Edge of Tomorrow,
and being based on that one manga and anime, and I was like,
Live Die Repeat,
they could totally do this with Blue Jack. Rip it off. I want to see a movie like Blue Gender.
Actually, that is such a good. Yes, because even in Live, Die, Repeat, or Edge of Tomorrow, however you want to say it, they have a mech. Yeah. Like, that's, yes.
They do.
And that's how they fight. That's right. So you could definitely be onto something to where if they were, all you would need is a different character design and bring in way more dread and horror aspects to it, and that psychological aspect to it. Because Edge of Tomorrow is such like it's part of it is there are parts to it, but it's way more of a popcorn flip because of Tom Cruise that's in there. But yeah, I like that idea where we already kind of see some of that with Edge of Tomorrow, and they're supposed to be coming out with another one, which I'm stoked for. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I'm excited for it because they've been talking about it for a while. But that's a really good. That's a really good point that you make with that movie.
Because this, take the premise of Blue Gender with the B cells, the blue, the second Earth, just the basics, and flesh out maybe some, be creative, be original, add some maybe throw in some things. No one needs to know the source. Like, I'm sure people would, because if you do tell them the source, then maybe it might muddy the water a little bit,
or even make it a smaller story where it is just we don't have to get into the B cells aspect of it, where it's really the first half of the series where it's just trying to get this person back up to where we actually live in Second Earth.
Oh, that's great. The first 11-12 episodes, that's the movie right there. That is the movie right there to make. And if you really wanted to do a second one, you could do the Second Earth. It could be Blue Gender.
Right. Yeah. Earth or something. Yeah. I dig that.
You said you need your movies, man. I think you're onto something here, bro. I'm not going to lie. I think you're onto something. I was also looking, because I couldn't find a manga. And I was surprised about the original. The source, since an original anime. The animation. Like, the animation, I don't want to say hit or miss because that sounds negative, but some episodes were, like, really cool. Like, the blue always looked really nice when they're in battle. When there's not a lot of action going on, I'm thinking about the scene where I think Marlene and Yuji are in that they're swimming or bathing or whatever. Yeah, and they're kind of just splashing, having fun, all that before Dice. I think that's right before Dice gets introduced. And I'm just like, ooh, that was the only noticeably where I was like, oh, that's kind of rough. And I was like, well, it's 1999 kind of thing. I kind of put it back, but that's why I didn't want to put it as like a negative or anything like that, because but it was a little rough. Some points were just a little rough for me.
I can definitely see that, because the studio that did Blue Gender also did like the Tenchi Muyo series.
It does. Oh my, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. No, so all around that same time, they did Bubblegum Crisis. So that gives you kind of an idea of.
Wait. So if they did Tenchi Muyo, they must have done what is it? Strike.
They may have.
And then Pumpkin Scissors.
Oh, you know what? I forgot about Pumpkin Scissors. Yeah. Because they did Gunsword, Pumpkin Scissors, like what you're talking about. Yep. But yeah, so it's that style, right? So that's a solid studio, but with
because I mean Tenchi Muyo looked
but I think that you might be on a little bit with that, where parts of it does feel a little bit flat, but I think that's also just the time frame, because this is 98-99.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I want to put too much on, because I mean it was, I don't know what the, I don't know the context and what and when producing this, when the show was being, you know, and considering it was an original, obviously too, so that makes pacing and what and what you wanted to focus on the most. What did you want to look really good? Because anytime the blue is on screen, whenever the blue is being fought with on the strikes or anything like that. And they're being tore up by a sword or being riddled with bullets. It looks super cool and it sounds cool. It's just when sometimes they're not, you know, when it's not the action or just maybe something candid is happening, then I'm just noticing it just because there's just not a lot going on at the moment. But that's it. That was the.
Yeah, because really the action was well animated and well paced, but kind of like the. Yeah, the slow burn of it and trying to figure out how to keep everybody, I guess, going. You know, that's where parts of the animation do come up a little bit short, for sure. Yeah, I can definitely see that.
I was going to say, because you talked a little bit about how you found this anime. I was going to say, I was trying to remember... I wondered, because you already kind of talked how close you really already kind of touched upon it, about like how close it is, this show is for you. And I just wanted to see if you had any other shows that were similar to this. I'm kind of sounding selfish here, because I low-key kind of want to watch another show similar to this or in the same vein. So, you know.
Yeah, I'm sure I guess. Listeners
want to hear as well, but, you know.
So, in that era... because so this came out in the States, the late night Toonami / Adult Swim. So you're looking at other shows like Outlaw Star, Trigun, that you mentioned earlier, which is that's right up this alley as well. As far as I guess other shows in the similar vein, really the only one that I could think of would be Attack on Titan.
We talked about it. It does touch on a lot of themes and kind of character motivate. And I just thought it was really interesting that I've never heard of the show. It seems to be pretty, it's well received all around most of the time. And I never hear it referenced. When talking about some of the current, the modern shows that are going for this, you know, the muted violence, you know, just the nonchalant violence and the randomness of the, anything could happen, and the tension's always, always ramped up. You know, it could be ramped up at any moment, and it's just this doesn't get mentioned at all.
Yeah, because the only one that I can think of that really hits on everything that Blue Gender hits on is Attack on Titan, and I don't think that Attack on Titan necessarily did it better. I think...
I can't really, because yeah, not really.
Yeah, because I think they're almost on the same level, because the storytelling is there. You have these crazy ass monsters, and you also have just like the way that that human side of him, where he sees people just get destroyed in front of him every time, and now he gains a little bit of power and all this other stuff, and then the political intrigue of it, that Attack on Titan has, and just the overall arc. I think that's probably the closest one that I can think of to Blue Gender.
And now that you say that, Aaron's story arc currently, I don't want to give too much away, so people are probably reading Attack. Well, no, it's already finished, what I'm talking about. But it, with Aaron kind of like, you know, growing up, he's reached, when Yuji was at that point, you know, he was just after that point of like, oh, I have this power, I shouldn't be so obsessed. Like, it took a while for Aaron to get to that point. It took more to the final two arcs for him just to get to that point, you know? I don't know. I want to give Blue Gender so much credit.
Yeah.
like, I just want to I want more people to know about it. And that's why I'm so happy. Like I said, I'm going to say it a lot, but I appreciate you for being on the show, because spotlighting a show like this is really important. For a lot of genres, for the sci-fi genre, for the mecha military genre, the space opera kind of thing, drama, even romance. Yeah. Even the romance was actually was pretty tight, to be honest. Like, it felt believable. It felt kind of natural in a sense. Like, I felt every time Marlene yearned for like Yuji's just presence, I was like, man, it hits. Come on, bro.
I think that Blue Gender does everything right when it comes to that. And, you know, you can easily, when it comes to like military stuff, and sometimes Gundam, with their multiple iterations of, you know, their forever war, with that, you only see really the military side, and you don't necessarily see like the human side of it. And you don't,
No, because
you don't see those small stories with it. 8th MS team is really the only time that you get a grounded. And that's that would be the only other one that I could think of that kind of hits some of the same themes that Blue Gender does, and some of the same kind of style, because what you're looking at is a small story for the most part. And when it comes to the romance and the relationship building, that you know, that you don't see a human side of it a lot of times, and
you
focus
really
more on like the battles and like the bigger military pieces to it. So you know, I'm just happy that you were able to watch it and enjoy it and seeing a different side to it and being introduced for the first time. So that's great.
Yeah, that's the best part. That was really fun, to be honest. I might have to do that more. That's up to you.
Of
if
course.
You would like to come back. That would be the invitation is extended. Like, that's it's officially the ball is in your court. I hope you hit it back. Because I'd love for you to come back, maybe with a show, another new show.
A
show that I'm not familiar with.
All right.
Yeah, another new show to me. Because, look, I've seen a lot, okay? You've seen a lot, okay? I've read a lot. And so something like Blue Gender to shock me like this and enjoy it this much was pretty
glad
crazy.
To hear it.
Pretty crazy. Hey, I thank you. Thank you. I'm glad.
Sure.
Before we wrap things up, though, I did want to ask you, because I always ask the guests as well. Thank you for spotlighting Blue Gender, but is there any other anime you've been watching recently that you kind of just want to maybe just briefly, you know, that you've been digging recently? Whether it's one of those from the current season. I'm not watching a lot from the current season myself yet. I haven't really gotten through all of them.
So the couple that stand out for me recently would be Gleipnir. I really like what they're doing with that. I think it's very, very interesting, and I really like how it kind of flipped a script almost on rape and sexual incursion, I guess. So,
you're right. I talked about this really briefly when I was...
Yeah.
I did just really briefly about the subject matter in Glipnir. And I think it's one of the reasons why it's so split. I don't want to say split. I don't want to... we got to stick together out here, right? People either dislike Glipnir or just kind of tolerate it, and then some people just love it. I think it tackles... I think it's important for a show to tackle this kind of thing openly. In my experience, I don't know a lot of shows that's kind of tackled the situation of like of
it's
sex
the first
this
show
way,
that I've
to
seen
be honest.
That handles it in this specific way.
Yeah, I can't really think of another show that does it in this way. It's really unique. I mean, that's a whole nother that's a whole nother conversation. Like
I would highly recommend at least checking it out. So if anybody is listening, I would check it out because it reverses the roles, and you really see you know what it feels like for a dude to kind of get into that, but it's not probably what you think. And then it also has like cool fights and shit, so
it's action is really good too.
I recommend that one. I liked that. I liked Dodo Hetero.
I was just about to bring that. I wanted to ask if, because I think you like you watched it before,
so I saw that to your point, like the first day that it came out, I'm pretty sure I watched all of it, and I was so mad. I was like, this is it, there's gotta be more. So I'm really hoping they come out with a second part. And that's the only thing that I hate about Netflix, is that they do parts instead of just like dropping the whole thing. Yeah.
It's so annoying.
But those two are standouts for me. I will say, kind of like an all-time favorite of mine is it's a series called Technolize. This was also I think I got I want to say that I got introduced to this during Adult Swim Toonami as well, but I don't remember.
Wow.
But so this is, it's another like weird sci-fi thing. Everybody on top of the Earth has like died or ghost or something, and there's an underground city, and it's the city of Lux, and there's a couple different parts to it. There's kind of traditional mafia, there's an underground fighting, there's all this other stuff that goes with it, and then there's these other people, there's the hierarchy, the kind of like the prestige, the ones that live on the top of the hill, the high upper class, and then you have the regular city folk, and then inside of there's this technology that you can replace your body parts with, and what that ends up doing is a couple different things. And we find out through the whole series that it's a wild ride. But there's a scientist that's down there that's doing a whole bunch of different experiments. The main character that we run across and follow, he is an underground fighter. But it's very much like he's an underground. He's a dog. Like that's how he's treated. So it's really interesting. And then gets his left leg and right arm chopped off, and he wants to stay human as much as possible, but he begrudgingly gets into the technology part of it, and then that builds this whole aspect of enhancing your body and just the idea of pushing technology in such a way to get the enhancements, and what's really being human versus what's being a robot, or, you know, the idea of that. And then there's a whole bunch of other stuff to it, but the style is so amazing. The way that it's animated is beautiful. Because it's
man,
so,
I'm gonna have to put that on the list.
To me, it was so good. And I've seen other people like it and not like it, but there's so many different themes to it. There's the class warfare. There's the technology piece to it. There's people, the idea of just giving up and becoming like a shell of yourself is also a big part of it. So yeah, it's a good one. So it's TEX something. So it's not technolize. It's like TEX-alize. So if you search highly recommend doing that.
Oh, I got it. All right, I'm writing that down. That's going on the list right there, bro. That is going on the list. It gives me like that. What is it? Not Gungrave. Like a serial.
The animation will remind you of that. Yes. So really some of the animation will remind you of that, because what you actually see on screen is the way that the technolize integrates with the body and how it integrates with your optics. So we can actually see, it's almost like a HUD display, like a game. So parts of what we see as that main character is that sometimes we see how he looks out to the world, and it is that digitized aspect of it now. So it's for me, it's really cool. That's another thing that, you know, not a lot of people talk about. What I see sometimes is that it is more style over substance, which I can partially agree with. That's fine. Sure. But it holds a special place in my heart.
It has its place. That's good. Well, you know what? I want to do the favor as well. You know, I'm known for my awesome recommendations. Not really, but I try. And some recent ones that I think are actually really well done. A little tidbit. People know about this show, but Chris, I'll let you know right now up front. I was never a seasonal guy, really. Like, I didn't really watch anime for the season. I just kind of watched whatever I want, and whatever, if someone recommended me something, I'd watch it or something like that. But recently, I guess for the last maybe few months now, maybe 6-7 months, I've been kind of going by this watching season to see what's kind of the popular thing now. This season, it was winter, I'm sorry. Darwin's Game. I don't know. Have you seen that? Have you watched Darwin's Game? Okay. Well, look, I mean, I might be a simp for Darwin's Game. The anime could have been done better. I'll agree. But after reading it and after watching it, I think it's well done. Like, I really like the but better. And so like, and Batoon was okay, but this was a lot better for me. I feel like it just hit more notes of, I don't know.
I can see that. Batoon is that one surprised me how good that could be. I recommend that. Yeah.
Like, I like the situations they're in for sure, and I think I like the situations of Batoon a lot, but I think I like
I can see that
Darwin's Game a little bit better. But it's Darwin's Game is another one, and also it was another winter anime that was what is it
okay,
Inspector. I really like the supernatural and the demons kind of thing. And real quickly, it's about a dude, it's about this girl who gets kidnapped by these spirits, and she loses her, in exchange of becoming like their priestess or their goddess, she loses her left eye and her right eye and her left leg. And she kind of falls in love with this dude, with this guy who just recently broke up with his ex-girl, And he's kind of, he doesn't look like it, but he's kind of also tied to the supernatural world. And they're kind of both kind of just drawn in by this incident. And she's like, don't worry, I can handle this. And he's like, no, I got it. And like the monster like bites his arm and rips it clean off. And then the monster starts spazzing out and he dies and all that stuff. And he looks to her and she, you know, she's flabbergasted. And he's like, oh, well, my flesh is kind of like poison to these people, to these things. And okay. So it's basically the goddess of spirits and like the most hated enemy, the spirits, team up and they do supernatural. So like
star-crossed lovers,
they take supernatural
kind of thing.
Cases. Yeah, yeah. It's really, it's interesting. It has a lot of themes on like just internet culture, surprisingly, weirdly enough. Storytelling.
Okay.
The art of the lie. And things like that. It's actually pretty good. It only has 12 episodes.
Are they doing more or okay.
I hope so. I really hope so. Because I really like the manga.
Yeah,
stuff,
I remember reading I really the synopsis of that, and I just thought it was going to be like a romance anime that is supernatural based. Okay.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be more romance, okay, but it's kind of just in the it's just kind of a piece of it, kind of just in the background of it. It actually really focuses on more of just, I mean, it does focus on a relationship between those two characters, but it's kind of interwoven into some pretty cool
okay.
Japanese horror folklore and the super and ghosts and spirits and
yeah,
stuff like
yeah.
that, which is pretty cool, which I liked. I
there was
a
another one that kind of did that, which was like a cult what was it called, it after a cult something, I'm gonna I forget what it is.
It
no,
wasn't a
it was Midnight
Nine, wasn't
cult
it?
Civil Service.
I remember
that's
that.
What it is. So that one's kind of cool.
Okay.
Yeah, where I saw most of it. I don't know if I finished it or not. As far as the whatever they offered for the season, but it's there's this department yeah. that all they do is bridge the gap between yokai and like the rest of the world. So they're doing like basically investigations into what's happening with that, because there's a whole bunch of crazy shit that happens, and there's angels are part of this world and yokai is part of this world and all this other stuff. And it was just like a cool kind of like slice of life case by case kind of thing. And I thought it was nifty. So Inspector kind of sounds a little bit like that, where they do just case by case with it, right?
Yeah, that does sound. Yeah, yeah. They do separate it by it's
okay.
kind of a little. It's a little more shonen, I think. I'd probably class Inspector a little more shonen, just because the way they structure it, it does feel like it's, you know, they have like one case will take, you know, a few days or a few weeks, whatever, and
gotcha.
It'll
okay.
have a central kind of boss, I guess, kind of thing. I don't. I'm not doing justice, but you know, if
well,
if,
I might actually add it to the list now,
because
I thought it was just going to be
might,
a romance garbage, which I'm not about.
Hey,
people.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
people try
well,
to
another
get
genre
me
that's
to
not
watch
doing so well because...
Violet Evergarden, and I'm just not about it. I tried. It's just. Yeah, I watched like
hey,
the first episode, and I was just like, "This is not what I want. I don't care.
This is not my yeah. Sorry, like, that's not my cup of tea right there." But like I said, for the amount of time, thank you so much for not only coming on the show but bringing Blue Gender to me, but to people listening as well. Because I hope you guys check out Blue Gender. I banged it out pretty quick.
Yeah,
it is kind of hard to find, like you said, though. I was lucky to find it on Amazon Prime, the Prime Video. They did have it in dubbed and subbed.
You can't find
I'm not quite
it
sure you can
anywhere
find it
legit,
anywhere else, to be honest.
So if you're out there on the world and you're perusing those anime dub websites, you know, have fun doing that. Yeah. They're there. There's some terrible. So, because. Yeah.
I was going to say, just do yourself justice. Because of the
format, because it's older, right? So, if there are YouTube versions of it, because I started trying to watch it on YouTube, they zoom in so much that you're not able to see everything. Huh. Yeah. So keep that in mind if you do actually pursue checking this out. Don't watch it on YouTube because the formatting is going to be terrible. Spend $30, buy it on Amazon. You're going to like it, I hope. After everything that we've gushed about it, you should.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like I've kind of gushed over.
But it could one of the last times that I saw it was on the Funimation streaming app, so it could show up there in the future again. It's not on there now.
Yeah, I didn't
show
check
up,
there,
it could show up again in the future.
Okay, that's
so fine. Just keep an eye out for it, but I would definitely drop the $30 on Amazon and just do it that way for sure.
Yep. Yeah, that's what I went with, and I'm more than satisfied. More than satisfied. Hey, and more people watch it, give it a demand. They'll probably put it on, let's get it on more stream sites. Hell, might even get lucky and get it to re-animate.
That'd be great. I would love to see an HD
studio or something.
HD version of this.
Oof. Yeah. As long as they and especially if they redo the song, but oof.
I definitely did. So much. Yeah.
I hope you enjoyed your time because we definitely enjoyed your time. Thank you so much. And like I said, the invitation, please.
I would definitely be more than happy with that. If anybody wants to follow me on anything, I do my own podcast called Ambition Radio, and I interview people who have found some kind of balance between their life, family, career, and the pursuit of their passions, dreams, or hobbies. A lot of it is music based, but I interview also some athletes, some small businesses, artists, and we try to just kind of figure out what keeps people motivated to keep pursuing what they actually like doing while still balancing out the fact that they have a life to live and money's a thing and family's a thing and relationships might be a thing. So if anybody wants to check that out, I'm on all the podcast platforms. I'm on Facebook. That's where I'm at the most. And I'm on the Instagrams and the Twitters, but I don't understand Twitter, so I don't use it.
Hey, well, I'll help you out with that. If you help me out with Facebook, then it'll be fine. I was going to say, like I said, you could tell he's a professional and a lot better than me because he already went right into the plugging segment without any lead in at all. So this is the people who I want to learn from. I was just going to ask anything you wanted to plug. I'll have all that situated into the description and for the promotion when this episode goes live for everybody, for you weebs out there. Because I'm definitely gonna take a listen because I've been infatuated with podcasts recently. I love listening to all types now, so especially sport ones, by the way. I love sport podcasts, but thank you so much. And you know what,
see you, Weebs.
Say goodbye to the Weebs for me, real fast. See you guys. We're gonna be Audi 3000. Hope you guys enjoyed. Thank you for allowing our voices into your ears, into your homes. I hope you guys enjoyed. And please support the podcast. Share it with your friends and family. Share it with any weeb that you may know. If you're listening to it on Apple or Spotify or Google or iHeartRadio or wherever you may be listening, please like, subscribe it, review it. You're like, I take all feedback. Tell me how shit I am. Tell me how good it is. I'll take that as well. But thank you so much. All right, now me and Chris are out of 3000. We're out.